coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome back to Travel with Anita and Friends. Now let's head south to Montgomery, Alabama, where there's so much history that is captured in one city. And May 4th, 2021 marks the 60th anniversary of the Freedom Riders' journey into Montgomery. And this year, the Freedom Riders Museum celebrates that with the introduction of a vintage Greyhound bus. Now, I had a chance to talk with Dorothy Walker, who is the director of the museum, and she joined me for a very informative conversation.
The fact that Greyhound built a bus station here, a lot of times when Greyhound in places across the South at that time, a lot of times Greyhound did not build a standalone facility. They would go into a downtown and utilize a facility that a building that was already there in downtown area, like they did in Anniston, Alabama. So there was very few places where Greyhound actually put the money and effort and in infrastructure into building a standalone facility like they did here in Montgomery. And so that really signified that Montgomery was a sort of a major transportation artery for the South at that time. And so the fact that we had a Greyhound bus station here, there was one in Birmingham, one in Jackson, Mississippi. So this building, the Greyhound bus station, was built here in 1951. And so by 1961, when the Freedom Riders are on their way to Alabama and to Montgomery, this building is still segregated, even though the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, had ruled in two separate cases outlawing the segregation of passengers both on the buses and in the bus stations. And so by the time the Freedom Riders arrive in 1961, that the segregation that was occurring here was occurring in violation of federal laws, outlawing the practice. One of the reasons why the Freedom Riders came to Montgomery and, of course, through Montgomery was because it was a transportation artery leading into Jackson, Mississippi, but also because it was one of those places where the segregation was still happening here at the Greyhound bus station.
So tell us what happened when the Freedom Riders actually arrived in Montgomery.
There were two groups of Freedom Riders. The original group of Freedom Riders leave Washington, D.C. on May 4th, 1961, and that group of folks is an integrated group of folks. And it's multi-generational. The ages range from 18 to 61 years old. And they are sponsored by the Congress of Racial Equality. Yes, sponsored by CORE. They make it as far as Birmingham and Anniston, Alabama, before they run into significant violence. And because of that violence, the federal government, the Kennedy administration, steps in, intervenes. There's pressure placed on the CORE riders to continue their journey onto New Orleans, which is where the original ride was headed, to continue that journey by plane. So those riders are flown onto New Orleans after the attacks on May 14th, 1961. And the bus part of the journey is ended at that point. Well, you have students in Nashville, including Congressman John Lewis, Dr. Bernard Lafayette, Diane Nash, and others who have been part of a movement there in Nashville. A lot of people are not familiar with the Nashville student movement that had been going on for over a year before the Freedom Rides got started. And the students there had been trained by Reverend Jim Lawson in the philosophy of nonviolent direct action. And so they felt like as they had been taking these workshops for over a year, they felt like they were the logical ones to come to Alabama to complete the journey of the Freedom Rides by bus from Alabama into Mississippi. So those students arrive in Alabama. The local officials in Birmingham arrest them, take them back to the Tennessee line, drops them off in the middle of the night. And then they make their way back to Birmingham. And at that point, the federal and state officials work out, they arrange a scenario where they're going to place the Freedom Riders and they're going to put them on their own Greyhound bus. And they're going to give them state police protection on the state highways and then let them finish the journey. However, when those students arrive from Birmingham to Montgomery, there is local law enforcement here in Montgomery. Local officials are supposed to arrange protection for the riders while they're in the city limits. When the bus arrives at the bus station, there are no local law officials here to protect the Freedom Riders. But there is a mob of hundreds of people, baseball bats, chains, pipes, bricks, Congressman John Lewis is hit over the head with a Coca-Cola crate. Some of the freedom riders are attacked with their own suitcases. And the journalists that have been waiting for them as well, waiting for that bus to arrive with the freedom riders on it, are also attacked, some with their own camera equipment. So this is a vicious attack that lasts for up to half an hour. But the freedom riders and everyone else who's attacked, John Siegenthaler, who was a special aide to the U.S. Attorney General Robert Kennedy, he was also attacked here. All of them survived this attack and are able to meet with Dr. King and other leaders about continuing the ride into Mississippi over the next couple of days.
Where is the museum located?
We're inside the bus station. We have what is remaining of the segregated entrances that were on the building during the time of the Freedom Rides. We have the integrated bathrooms that Greyhound put in when they integrated the facility. So we have a lot of the vestiges of this building's evolution and story that we share with our visitors, along with exhibits about the Freedom Rides and other items that people can see to tell them more about this story.
But now, what about the Greyhound bus that you featured now as part of your 60th anniversary?
A few years ago, the Greyhound Bus Museum in Hibbing, Minnesota, donated a vintage Greyhound bus to the museum. And the Alabama Historical Commission received grant funding from the Alabama State Department of Tourism and other entities to completely restore that bus to its to what it looked like during the Freedom Rides or during the time of its when it was in operation. That we have a sound exhibit that is on the bus that people can hear the voices of the Freedom Riders, as well as a suitcase exhibit. We have a vintage suitcase that we've turned into an exhibit to talk about the things that people carried when they went on their journey as a Freedom Rider. It's a multidimensional piece that sort of seeks to immerse the visitor in the period of when the Freedom Rides were occurring. One of the things I like about adding the addition of the bus to our museum experience here and for our visitors is that, you know, for these Freedom Riders, it's one thing to make a decision to go to some workshops and get trained in nonviolence. It's another thing to say, I'm going to join if you guys are taking volunteers to go on this dangerous mission, I will join. I think it's a totally different scenario when you pack a bag and, mm-hmm. you know, you write out your will and call your family. I think that your commitment level certainly goes up significantly. But then when you get on the bus, you know, you're in it. You know, that's your commitment is solidified. And I think I hope that when visitors are able to view the bus, that they're able to sort of picture and imagine these young people, particularly this was mostly a young people's movement. Over a third of them were under the age of 30, to be able to say, you know, to be 18 years old, packing a bag and deciding that you're going to risk your life to change the way people get to travel in the country generations from now or from then. So we hope that people will use that opportunity to be on the bus to kind of reflect back as they hear the voices of the Freedom Riders describing what it was like to get off that bus and what was happening as they were journeying here from Birmingham to Montgomery that day on May 20th. It is a mobile component of the museum. So there are times when we will have it traveling into other areas.
Dorothy, can you share with us a telephone number or a website for the museum?
The phone number is 334-414-8647. Mm-hmm. And then our website, that's www.ahc.alabama, spelled out, .gov, and then /Freedom Rides Museum.
Wow, great information. I can only include a small amount, so check out my website for the full conversation with Dorothy at travelwithanita.com. Back in a moment.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit